epistles from our, the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. To me, the least of all the saints, is given this grace to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches and to enlighten all men that they may see what is the dispensation of the mystery which hath been hidden from eternity in God who created all things. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth. To know also the charity of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled unto the fullness of God. Please stand for the recitation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I confess to thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and hast revealed them to the little ones. Yea, Father, for so hath it seemed good in thy sight, that all things are delivered unto me by my Father. And no one knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither doth anyone know the Father but the Son, and he to whom it shall please the Son to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Take up my yoke upon you, and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. You may be seated. Today we have this great grace of celebrating the feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Her feast is celebrated in the modern calendar yesterday. Deacon didn't preach on her, but remember she was one of the young women who God called to be able to not give us the devotion of the Sacred Heart, which long predated her in her time. But he called upon her to deepen and to spread the devotion to our Blessed Lord's Sacred Heart, so that his heart may be known, that it may be consoled, that she was a woman who was given great visions and visitations of the Sacred Heart, and was entrusted to her this new revelation of these devotions. But she wasn't able to get them out all by herself. She had to rely upon her own spiritual director to be able to make sure that these revelations were made known at the larger cause. And so God called to her Claude de Colombier, there in France, and Pierre Le Monial, which is a place where I've been to. There, between the two of them, God worked and revealed great things so that his heart may be loved more, that the devotion to this heart, which so suffers for love of men, that it might be consoled and be poured out in a great effusion of the mercy of God. In truth, this image of the Divine Mercy is nothing other than a continuation of the devotion to the Sacred Heart. The Divine Mercy and the Sacred Heart are nigh one and the same, taken from different aspects. It is the same heart which pours out that blood and water upon those who seek his mercy. And so particularly on this day, it is good for us to seek to console his Sacred Heart, to remain at the foot of the cross just as Mary was. We're going to learn more about that in just a moment. But I want to give you a particular prayer that we can offer to the Lord, particularly for this devotion today. So this is the salutation to the Sacred Heart that St. Margaret Mary Alacoque gave. Focus yourself interiorly upon the Sacred Heart, and seek to greet him in this way that he might have greater effect within your life. This is the way she used to greet the Sacred Heart. Hail, O Sacred Heart of Jesus, save me. Hail, Heart of my Creator, perfect me. Hail, Heart of my Savior, deliver me. Hail, Heart of my Judge, grant me pardon. Hail, Father, Heart of my Father, govern me. Hail, Heart of my Spouse, grant me love. Hail, Heart of my Master, teach me. Hail, Heart of my King, be my crown. Hail, Heart of my Benefactor, enrich me. Hail, Heart of my Shepherd, guard me. Hail, Heart of my Friend, comfort me. Hail, Heart of my Brother, stay with me. Hail, Heart of the Child, Jesus, draw me to thyself. Hail, Heart of Jesus, dying upon the cross, redeem me. Hail, Heart of Jesus, in all thy statutes, give thyself to me. Hail, Heart of the incomparable goodness, have mercy upon me. Hail, Heart of the Splendor, shine within me. Hail, Most Loving Heart, inflame me. Hail, Most Merciful Heart, work within me. Hail, Most Humble Heart, dwell within me. Hail, Most Patient Heart, support me. Hail, Most Faithful Heart, be my reward. Hail, Most Admirable and Most Worthy Heart, bless me. Continuing our study with the virtues of our Blessed Mother, particularly within her virtues among men. Let's focus today upon Mary's love for the Church. One cannot love the humanity of Jesus Christ without also loving his Church, which is preeminently his work. St. Paul tells us that the Church is a body of which Jesus is head and the soul and the life. Hence, even as he is anathema who does not love Jesus Christ, so we may say that he is anathema who loves not his holy Church. The Holy Mother of Jesus, therefore, must needs have loved the Church with a mother's love. She saw the humble commencement of that Church in the stable of Bethlehem, where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph formed the first Christian family, welcomed by the angels, visited by poor shepherds, honored by kings. She saw the Church baptized by the blood of Christ upon Calvary, and again baptized in the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. While the Church was still in a state of infancy, but lately bereaved of the dear presence of Jesus, Mary's special task was to tend and to nourish her with the solace and instructions to the end of the faith of the Church might increase to that manly vigor which was soon displayed by the martyrs of Jerusalem and Rome. We may add to the words of St. Augustine that Mary is a beautiful figure of the Church. As Mary is virgin and mother, so also the Church. Mary became a mother by the power of the Holy Ghost. It is by that same grace of the Holy Ghost that the Church gives birth to her children in baptism. In the Holy Spirit, therefore, the Holy Spirit is the spouse of both Mary and of the Church. But he is a spouse who does not tarnish, but enhances and perfects their virginity. The mutual resemblance of these twin daughters of the Most High enables us to easily understand the immense love of the Church for Mary and Mary's most tender return of love. Are they not both crowned with the same glories? Do they not grieve over the same griefs? Are they not queens of the same realm? The Church, conscious of Mary's love, gratefully and gladly attributes to Our Lady all her own triumphs over heresy and sings joyfully her office, quote, "Rejoice, O Virgin Mary, thou alone hast overcome all heresies throughout the world," end quotation. These words of highest praise will not seem extravagant to one who reflects that Mary indeed destroyed in germ all the heresies in that time to come were to spring among Christians by giving to us Jesus Christ, whose heavenly doctrine was to dispel all darkness of error from the world. Besides, we must remember that Mary, after our Lord's ascension, lived many years on earth for the consolation and instruction of the newly founded Church. Doubtless, the apostles learnt from her how best to confute error, and yet be tender with those who err. She must have disclosed to them the most hidden secrets of that doctrine with which they converted the world. Therefore, has Mary been crowned in heaven Queen of Apostles. Now, from her heavenly home, she is still the protectress of those who proclaim and defend the Christian faith, and she asserts in her behalf the efficacy of her patronage. Indeed, at times, the manifestation of her power is likened to the might of an army ready for battle, as it says in the 6th chapter of the Canticle of Canticles. Remember that it was Mary in her work with the Church, particularly with the apostles, is what is lived out on the feast day which we celebrated on Monday, the feast of Our Lady of the Pillar. That was the first apparition of Our Lady. There, St. James was discouraged in his work in Spain, seeing that nobody was turning to God, that he was winning nigh no converts in the land of Spain. And so in that, Mary heard that call through the gift of the Holy Spirit, because she is so integrally united to him as the spouse of the Holy Spirit, which is also the spouse of the Church, as we just heard. So the angels carried her in bodily form, as it were, through a bilocation to that very place in Zaragoza, Spain, in Valencia there, where St. James was weeping, and went there to console him and to give him courage in that moment. So too Our Lady seeks to give courage not only to the apostles of that day, but to the apostles of our day, which is, in truth, our bishops, our Pope, but also you and I share in an apostolic work here within our own families and community. Apostles being those who are sent out to spread the gospel, sent out to bring that joy of being loved by God and recognizing it in our lives, which allows us to live through the tragedies and difficulties and the confusion of our time in a sense of peace that can only come from Christ. So too, as we seek this Saturday dedicated to Our Lady, let us ask her for that special grace of the knowledge of her love for her Church, of which we are a part, of whom she is able to be spouse of the Holy Spirit and true exemplar within the Church. Let us ask her for that same grace, to in the midst of our trials and difficulties to be consoled by she who cares for her Church, not just as a whole and as a corporate body, but for each of her members individually, with a love beyond all telling, with a love of a perfect spouse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.